Okay.
Thank you.
back and forth because of the 9 o'clock service and the blessing of the animals. So thank you for being patient with us as we start today at 10:30. Do we have anybody here for the very first time? We have a small gift for you to welcome you and say thanks for popping in. Thanks for popping in. Tell us your names.
Sybil and
Damaris, we're glad you're here. Welcome again. And we welcome you to this service of worship.
Good morning. We have some announcements today. Hi, I'm Lynn Pierce. I'm a member of the worship committee. And I'm here to... It's not on?
Yeah, it is. Okay.
To go over a few of the announcements that are in your bulletin today. Next Friday, August 11th at 7 o'clock, please join us for a free concert from the Ugandan Children's Choir, Imani Mulele. Experience true Africa through culturally unique music, dance, and drum routines. I think it will be an exciting evening, and I hope you will all attend. Saturday, August 12th, the trustees need your help. In order to keep our grounds beautiful, they could use your help for some simple weeding. This is an equal opportunity employer. Although the workday is Saturday, you're also welcome to stop by any time and pull weeds in any of the rock areas or the labyrinth. Mountain View will serve dinner at the Boulder Homeless Shelter on August 27. Belinda Strickland is lead chef and coordinator. Contact Belinda or Cheryl Runyon if you can help. Their email addresses are listed in your bulletin. Sunday, August 27 is also a date you'll want to remember. It's the date of our ministry fair. That Sunday, you can find out about small groups and get involved with and hear about mission and outreach opportunities. Also today during communion, we will have people on either side to hear healing prayers, maybe thinking about beforehand. And now, a word from our trustees.
Lynn, thank you for emphasizing the workday this coming Saturday. And I just wanted to tell all of you who enjoy a friendly competition, the trustees are thinking up a special prize for whoever can deliver the biggest bag of weeds that morning. So please come join us. There'll be some refreshments, and we'll have a good time working on our grounds together.
Will you take this time now to stand and greet one another in God's love? Surprised with expectation about how you might speak to us through music, through words spoken, through those silent moments, and through community, being together. We praise your holy name this day and evermore. Amen. Will you stand as we sing our opening hymn? And just like the disciples helped and provided. God made sure that there was enough for everybody. So do you guys think if you help somebody out, God would be behind you helping you out and giving you all that you needed to get it done? Yeah. So there are people all over your lives that you guys can help. You can help people at home, right? I know William's getting ready for a big move. I bet your mom and dad need lots of help, don't they? Yeah. And I know your mom's getting ready to go back to school, Carter, right, and Walker, so I bet she needs lots of help. So you can help people at home. You can help people when you go back to school. You can help people in our communities and all the way across the world. You know what's really cool? Is that all the help you do, God's going to make sure you've got what you need to do it. Pretty cool, huh? So can we say a prayer? Hands bowed, hands. And say, hey, God.
Hey, God.
Thank you so much for giving us hands to help.
Thank you so much for giving us hands to help.
Help us to remember.
Help us to remember.
That you will always help us. Help others. Amen. these gifts as they represent all of the help that we can offer and all of the help that we expect from you with the surprising abundance that can come. We ask that these gifts be multiplied, that the blessings to those who receive them be multiplied, and that as we give, we recognize that we can help more and more with the multiplication of your commitment to us and to all the earth to be transformed. Thank you for our ability to give and for the givers and for those who will receive. We praise your name this day and evermore. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry, can you stand?
Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm delighted to greet you this morning. Lovely weather we're having for May. And I'm delighted to lift up to us a message of hope and promise from the gospel. Before I do that, I want to welcome John back. John's been on a long trip, and the Cups are here worshiping with us today. They come in the summertime, and Also recognize our guests and visitors with us. We know also that William and his family are moving, and the couriers, and we will miss them greatly. What is your move day?
This coming Saturday,
they're going to be moving. Well, our hearts go with you. They're going to Washington, D.C., and William is going to be at the Pentagon. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ben. Yes. All in good time. I'm sorry.
Lowering your standards, maybe.
Little people at the Pentagon. This will be good. Her husband is going to be at the Pentagon. So prayers of love and support for their family in this time of challenge and change. Let us pray together. Gracious God, help us in all of our transitions, back to school, back to work, back to teaching, back to a routine that sometimes presses us hard. We ask your blessing upon us, those who are busy working and those who are working in retirement. We pray that your presence would be with us as we're redeployed for your purposes and presence. In Jesus' name, amen. A new priest was nervous about giving confession, so he asked an old priest to sit in on his sessions. And the old priest heard a couple of these confessions and how the new priest responded to them. And he made some suggestions to him. For example, he said, you might cross your arms over your chest and every once in a while rub your hand on your chin. Now the new priest tries this, and the old priest suggests, you might try saying things like, I see, I see. Yes, go on, I understand. How do you feel about that? Right? And the new priest tried these things out. And the old priest says, now don't you think that's a little better than slapping your hand on your knee and saying, no way, tell me what happened next. My nephew came for a visit a couple of years ago and suffered through my outrageous sense of humor. Suffered bravely, I must add. And then he declared, Uncle Steve, you are not silly. You're foolish. Much to my relief, he also observed that I am not bald. I've nearly dyed some of my hair as clear. A little bit of foolishness, I think, goes a long way to alter our perspective on life. It's even to the point if you alter someone's perspective enough that we laugh out loud. A little bit of humor, and in my case, very little, helps to remind us of the mirth with which God imbues life. We take ourselves so seriously but fail to realize the delight and love that God has for us in the midst of life. The aha moments, the discovery moments, the little things that makes life livable. We live in Jesus Christ, and every day we discover, out of the little bits of possibility, and the remnant scraps of hope, God shapes and fashions our very days into a pleasing tapestry of God's grace. Out of the tiniest gifts that we offer the Lord comes a pleasing and cheerful glance into the praise of our Maker and the kingdom of God. This passage of Scripture is about scarcity in the face of great need. Go feed 5,000 people. We had a wedding for our daughter in May, and feeding 100 people was an interesting adventure. Not in the least of which was at the end, the caterers no longer let you take the food home. I said, what? Really? Okay. The scripture of scarcity in the face of great need is contrasted with the gracious, extravagant abundance that is offered at the hand of Jesus. Remarkably, the story does not end and everybody got fed. The story ends, all ate and were satisfied. They were fulfilled. They were not temporarily sated. They were completely and happily full. In fact, they took up what was left, 12 baskets filled. There's not only fulfillment, there is surplus. That's the way it is with Jesus. Even in a wilderness, even at the close of the day, even as night is falling and the rain is coming out of the sky, if Jesus is there, there is fulfillment. If Jesus is there, there is, in the face of our perpetual hunger for food, physical as well as spiritual, an abundance and extravagance and overflowing of grace. But when God is not there, When we've turned our back on the opportunities that God brings, the possibilities that Christ would offer, the world becomes a very lonely place indeed. Each week, I deal with people where the world has touched their shame, their guilt, and it can sometimes shatter us so completely to have our shame touched, our guilt touched, our brokenness pointed out to us. You know how the world does. Oh, and by the way, there's a weakness. Oh, yeah, well, I'm glad you noticed, right? And without God, what do you do with that? Without knowing that your sin is forgiven, what do you do with that? Each week as pastor, and maybe in your life more often, maybe it's a daily experience, the world touches your shame. The world touches your guilt. The world touches your brokenness. And you and I together understand what kind of impact that has on our relationships. But without God, what do you do with that? It would threaten to undo us completely. This passage illustrates that we all need hope, that we all need forgiveness, that we all need a way forward, and Jesus offers that to us and gives us a path to wholeness again. Out of little belief, out of meager faith, God will provide. God will make from the scraps that we give him the lives he knows that we need. It's a statement of faith, but it's one that I have tested over and over again in my own life and in yours. Out of little, God makes much. God makes heroes out of zeros. This much I know in my own personal witness of faith. There was a woman in a community who was well known for her simple faith and great calm in the midst of trials. And a man who had never met her before but had heard of her came to visit her one day and to himself thought, I must find a way to ask her what is the secret to her calm and happy life. And as he met her, he told her, so you're the woman with the great faith that I've heard so much about. And she said, well, no. I'm not the woman with the great faith, but I am the woman with a little faith in a great God. God makes heroes out of zeros. God takes our little and makes much of it. Out of the fishes and bread, Christ feeds the multitude. Out of the meager accomplishments and scarce resources that we would offer his church, God creates the kingdom of God. God would build sacred community out of people like you and me. Out of our little lives, God would bring about wholeness, forgiveness, a way forward, a way to turn loose of the fears and desperation that we experience when the world touches our shame, when the world touches our grief. It is our witness that God has the power to redeem our mistakes. And in my experience, this kind of extravagance is the sort of which only happens when God is involved with it. Referencing the sacrament of Holy Communion, the Reverend Brett Blair observed that bread has no power. Bread has power, but in the end, its power will fail. Bread can buy you land, but not love. It can buy you bonds, but not brotherhood. Gold, but not gladness. Silver, but not sincerity. Hospitals, but not health. 3 carats, but not character. Houses, but not homes. You can trade bread for commodities and commodities for bread, but not comfort. Real estate, but not righteousness. Hotels, but not heaven. To satisfy your hunger for heaven, you can't eat the bread of earth. You must avail yourself of the bread of God. And that bread is in Jesus Christ, who come down from heaven and gives life to the world. When we try to live our lives without hope, what happens? When we try to live our lives without Jesus, what do we do with our sin and guilt? When we try to live our lives without the Holy Spirit, how do we discover that resource that we knew when our shame the resources that we need when we know that our shame is touched and our guilt is visible to all the world. In this passage of Scripture, we're offered spiritual fulfillment and spiritual completion as it is revealed in a remarkably material way. Loaves and fishes. Now, scholars have debated whether this is an outright miracle, the transformation of these five loaves and two fish. That's the way the traditional teaching is. Or was it that the people who came out to see Jesus had bread and loaves and fishes with them? They just hadn't shared them. And when Jesus asked his disciples to share what they had, the meager amount, that this motivated the people in the crowd to come down in a circle and share one with another. I can't say, honestly, which is a greater miracle. Now, it would be great if it was Shazam, more bread, 12 baskets full. That'd be wonderful. But it's even greater, it seems to me, that people were motivated, inspired, and encouraged to share what little they had with others, that there were 12 baskets left over. This spiritual completion is revealed in Christ and in crosses, discipleship and sacrifice, water and wine. And we commemorate it today in Holy Communion. Out of little, God makes much, my friends. And often we're compelled to scratch and stretch for hope when we are least likely to find it. Often we only turn to God when we're all but ready to give up. I don't know how many times you've experienced this, but I'll wager more than you'd like to admit. There are days that are just simply too hard and we don't want to go on. And yet, out of a little hope, God can make lives bloom again. God can make spiritual hearts open to Him again. Out of our discouragement, our blackness, our disappointments, our brokenness, God can transform us again. And this is one of the great gifts that our faith offers. Who here remembers the Soviet dissident Alexander Solzhenitsyn? This is a generational question, perhaps, but he was a dissident in the Soviet Union and was held a long time in a labor camp. And one day, he became so discouraged that he thought about taking his own life. That's pretty black. That's very alarming. He was outdoors that day, he writes, and on a work detail, and he had a chance to have a break, and he reached the point where he no longer cared whether he lived or died. He sat there, despondent. And a stranger came beside him, somebody that he'd never seen before. And without saying a word, the stranger took a stick and before him wrote a shape of a cross in the dirt. And Solzhenitsyn wrote that he sat there and stared at that cross for a very long time. And he wrote, "Staring at that cross, I realized that therein lies my freedom from this labor camp. Therein lies my salvation. Therein lies my hope." Later, Alexander, who stepped away from his thoughts of suicide, confided that despite the close quarters in that camp, he never saw that man ever again. Out of little, God makes much. Out of scraps of duty and honor, God would rebuild the entire world. Out of care and compassion, service and sacrifice, prayer and praise, and God makes our lives matter and makes transformation possible. We have a work team that came back from Alaska just last week. We welcome them. The Strands came back, and also Bruce Thompson came back from an amazing experience of helping other people. I'll wager if you talk to them, they'll say, "But we got more out of it than we gave." This gets repeated again and again and again. It's no accident. Out of little, God makes much. Out of zeros, God makes heroes. And it may sound like a fable, but it's been proven true over and over and over again. In our presence, in our knowing. Oh, that's just wishful thinking. You Christians believe unbelievable things. And yet God makes our lives matter by transformation in community, and as individuals. Out of little bits of bounty, ragged remnants of hope, God shapes and fashions our days into a tapestry pleasing and full of grace. This past week, we had a stewardship meeting, and Pastor Sarah shared a prayer from Ted Loader, a United Methodist pastor in Philadelphia. And those who know us know we've been struggling with our daughter's situation. She's been unscrupulously accused of doing bad things as a nurse. No proof is needed. They just simply write you off. And now she'll be having her case heard by the assistant attorney general of the state of Colorado. We've been praying for a year that this would happen so that she can have a chance to tell her side of things. And it's almost brought us to our knees several times. This prayer, would you pray it with me? It meant so much to me. Wondrous worker of wonders, I praise you. Not alone for what has been or what is, but for what is yet to be. For you are gracious beyond all telling of it. I praise you that out of the turbulence of my life, a kingdom is coming, is being shaped even now. Out of my slivers of loving, my bits of trusting, my sprigs of hoping, my tootles of laughter, my drips of crying, my smidgens of worship, that out of my songs and struggles, out of my griefs and triumphs, I am gathered up today and saved. For you are gracious beyond all telling of it. I praise you that you turn me loose to go with you to the edge of the new and now and maybe. To welcome the new, to see my possibilities, to accept my limits, and yet begin living to the limit of passion and compassion until released by joy. I uncurl to other people and to your kingdom coming, for you are gracious beyond all telling of it. Amen. I don't know what you do if you don't have the context of faith and grace in order to deal with your shame, guilt, and brokenness. But many, many people try. And it's our witness as a community of faith that that is no way to live. For out of foolishness and mirth, God would show us the kingdom of God. Clear hair that I may possess. And in truth, my friends, we are privileged to be fools for Christ, to go with God to the very edge of the now and maybe, to uncurl to other people and the grace of God, to experience out of the little things the very possibilities that fed the 5,000 that make our lives worth living. You know, the world often sees us as fools and scarecrows, people of faith, people who believe in unbelievable things. And yet the world has no answer for its own pain. The world has no answer for its own hopelessness, its own raging. Society has all kinds of quick and dirty answers to the problems we all face. But for those who generously choose to live and believe in Christ, society stands amazed at what the sacred community is able to accomplish. Transformation, friends, is no small thing. Especially as grown-ups. Children, they grow and change, and we expect that, but adults, they're harder. Some of you here are fans of baseball like I am. Our Rockies are doing pretty good. Keep it up. Talk about how little things come greatness, right? Little at-bats, and then home runs, well, that's awesome. On our side. Many of you will remember Jackie Robinson as the first black man to play Major League Baseball. They recently made a movie, I believe it's called 41, about Jackie Robinson. In his first season with the Brooklyn Dodgers, Robinson faced venom everywhere he traveled. Pitchers threw fastballs at his head. Runners spiked him on the bases. Brutal epithets were written on cards and shouted from the stands. Spoken from the opposing dugouts. Even the hometown crowds in Brooklyn saw him as an object of reproach, the first African-American to play Major League Baseball. Now, during one game in Boston, the taunts and racial slurs came to a crescendo. To make matters worse, Robinson had committed an error and stood at second base humiliated while the fans hurled insults at him. Another Dodger, a southern white man by the name of Pee Wee Reese, called timeout. And he walked from his position at shortstop toward Robinson at second base, and he simply put his arm around him, over his shoulder, and gave him a hug. The fans grew instantly quiet. Robinson later said that that arm around his shoulder saved his career. As a witness to others of compassion, the hushed crowds rang out with kindness and justice for all to see. A simple act of my heart is as with your heart, because you're one of my teammates. That's all. That's all it took. Out of little, God makes much. And it's always been that way. Out of little men and little women with modest faith, our God builds lives which reflect our true greatness, which can only be revealed, I believe, when we work together with God, asking for God's help to reveal the tiny slivers of hope in our relationships, the tiny moments of forgiveness in our families, the slight opportunities to show grace to our grandchildren, to tell our children, I forgive you if you'll forgive me. Out of little hungers and perennial thirsts, grand desperations and tiny signs of hope, Christ transforms our perspectives. This is what we believe, and that way connects our lives to divine resources, unknown strength, unearned flexibility, true faith, or sometimes a little song. At the darkest point of this week, when hearing about the case being moved to the courts, I, in the backyard, found myself singing, the sun will come out tomorrow, bet your bottom dollar, come what may. I don't even know all the words, but I know the sun is shining up there. Amidst the turds, tomorrow. Who here doesn't know the need for God's grace? Who out there doesn't need to know of God's grace? And out of these little tiny slivers of hope and trust, we make our lives. If we had buckets of grace, and we swam around in it, and we thought we were all that and a bag of chips, as Pastor Sarah likes to say, we would not appreciate it. And so it's the little, tiny rays of sun, the butterfly that flies, the leaf that turns color, the friends who go on mission trips and come back and tell us stories. Out of little, God makes much, and out of zeros, God makes heroes. I'm witness to that. And out of strands of mirth and filaments of foolishness, God weaves in us a magnificent tapestry of grace. Little acts of kindness, some Christian courage, some humility, our God transforms the entire world. When we say yes, these things are possible. Out of little, God makes much. And through Christ, from the smallest gifts that we might share, the Lord would build the kingdom. So last night we went to the play, and it started to rain, and so we came inside. It was at Mary Ripon Theater, and it was Shakespeare, which we enjoyed. And it was quite a bit of rain. And in the break, someone texted me. It was Pam Williams. That's Sharon Sang's mom. She's here for a visit. And you know what they found in their backyard? She gave me a picture of it. A praying mantis that we gave away last spring. Right? Little goofies praying. What are these things you're always giving out, Steve? What are they, mouse eggs? What is that, you know? Praying mantis. And so I wrote her back, what is he praying for? Rain. Look,
I don't understand all the connections that we make, but friendship matters and relationships happen, and our trust in God is an important piece out of little things. Look for them. Little things. God makes heroes out of little things. Little tiny acts of compassion, God could change our entire world. This is the witness of faith that we share with you this morning. From the Gospel of Matthew to our very lives. A miracle? Feeding 5,000? It's nothing. Forget about it. God can do even greater things in you and in me when we say yes to God. Amen. Christ our Lord invites all who love him and earnestly repent of their sins to seek to live in peace with one another. Let's offer our confession in silence. Took the cup,
gave thanks to you, O God, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink ye from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Make this a thirst-quenching gathering, a cleansing, a satisfying sup and meal, that we, encouraged through hope and the Holy Spirit, may be healed and made whole again, over and over, still to know we are embraced in God's precious love, the way of heart for all. All glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Ushers will direct you forward from the back, and you are welcome to come and receive God's grace.
We are consecrated in this time, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. But those who are coming to assist, come forward at this time. to hear your call, to help make heroes out of zeros. Your love, your grace, your power is what we need to do that. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Be with us this week. Amen and amen. Please stand with me as we share this hymn of dedication. Come share the Lord. 2269. This scripture and gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.